Well, ain't God good? Man, he meets right when we need him to meet. He touches right when we need him to touch. He's the author this morning. Amen. I like Father's Day, don't you? Mothers may not like Father's Day, but us daddies, we like Father's Day. Okay. I make it known around my house, I like Father's Day. You make it known, you get something. Amen. Case knife. Shiny. New. Well, easy. He's a Tennessee fan. Easy. Got up this morning and Kaylee cooked me breakfast. Fried weenies. Cut up. Grape jelly put on top of them. I went in there to see what was going on, and she said, "Get in there, quit being nosy." I thank God, yes. I thank God for my family this morning. I want to share a title to our daddies this morning, and I want you to listen real good if you're a daddy. Maybe you've never had a child, but you're a man in here, and maybe you've helped raise a child. Maybe you're just a father figure in the community that helps kids, that helps people. This morning I want to share a title with you this morning that I pray that all daddies would be. Just being saved doesn't make you a man of God. Make you a child of God. Won't make you a man of God. A man of God's going to stand up and say, I'm going to follow. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow God. It don't matter what the other turkeys do. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to stick with the stuff. I'm going to follow God. You got any daddies in here like that? I know we got some prideful daddies in here. I've been around you. I'm one of them. Amen. Hey, I love my family. I love the church that I pastor. I love people. You know what I'm saying? And, man, that's just who we are today. We love people, but on the same token, well, there's some things we stand for, and there's some things we do. And if my daughter asks me, "Daddy, will you change my oil in my car?" I say, "I will." "Daddy, will you get me some new tires?" I say, "I will." "Daddy, can I borrow you a 20? I say, "I will. I will let you." Us daddies, think about all the times you say, "I will," to your children. I want you to think this morning, daddies, all the times you say, "I will." "Daddy, can I do this?" Or "Daddy, will you let me do that?" And you say, "I will." I want you to think about how many times that you said the word, "I will, I will, I will," to your children, or maybe to your wife this morning. They, "Will you do this or will you do that?" And you say, "I will." And you say, "Preacher, I'm a provider for my family." And I mean, I applaud you this morning for being a provider. And you say, "Preacher, I protect my family and I wouldn't let nobody come against my family." And I applaud you for that this morning. But I want to go a little deeper than just being a protector and being a provider. I want to ask you this morning, are you the priest of your home? Are you the priest of your home? Or are you the one that your kid sees that you sit there with an old-timey Bible and you read the Bible and you pray and you lead them in prayer and you lead them in Bible study? And if they went to your sock drawer, they wouldn't find nothing in there that shouldn't be there. If they went into a dark place in your room and they wouldn't find you, you don't lock the door when you go in your bedroom and you got no hidden places. I'm asking you, are that kind of daddy this morning? I'm talking about a daddy that is transparent, that your kids don't see one thing and the community sees something else. I'm not talking about erasing the Safari on your phone where everybody don't see it. I'm talking about a daddy that stands up with integrity this morning and tell your children, "I will live this way." I'm asking you, daddies, are you this kind of daddy today? And my heart this morning comes out of Psalm 18. First three verses, "I will," this morning. Psalm, if you will, chapter number 18. And we're going to read the first three verses. And I want to share with you my heart this morning, what God's laid on me this week. And I pray that you leave here. And you, if you're not an "I will" daddy, I pray you get to be an "I will" daddy before it's too late. Amen. Very important in our life that we be an "I will" daddy. Amen. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, in Psalm 18 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, I pray our daddies are having a good day. Father, I pray that they're all excited for being in this house this morning, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that they have an I will attitude before they leave this place, Father. Lord, I pray this morning that you give us what our hearts need this morning. I pray that you touch in a mighty way. I'm thankful this morning that you saved my soul from a devil's hell, Father. Father, I thank you that you put the Holy Ghost all inside of me this morning, Father. Lord, I thank you for the daddies that are in this place that have raised their kids and they're leading their homes according to the Word of God. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you be high and lifted up. I pray you guard my throat. I pray you guard my thoughts, Father. Lord, I pray when the time of invitation comes, if there's a daddy in here, Lord God, that needs to do business with you, I pray that they come to this altar before it's eternally too late. Father, we don't only need mamas to rise up, but we need daddies to rise up and be the male figure in the home and be that daddy that you've called them to be. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for this morning and I pray you have your will and way. We ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come to Psalm 18 and verse number 1 this morning, we see that King David had been delivered from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And old Saul was out for his life and he was running him everywhere that he could. But old King David, he came to this place and he wrote three times. He wrote down, I will. He wrote down three times in the text here. He said, I will. He had an I will attitude. It didn't matter what come his way, he had an I will attitude. And my prayer is this, that every man and every woman, boy or girl that is in this place this morning, I pray when you leave here that you have an I will attitude. Hey friends, I want you to know that we have a lot of I will attitudes in this world, but they're not for God. They will do anything but what God has called them to do. But this morning I want to speak especially to our men that are in the house. I pray this morning that your attitude would be, I will do what God has called me to do, and I will do it exactly the way that God has called me to. And this morning I want to show you three places in the text that he said, I will. This morning, in verse number 1, the psalmist said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He said, I will love the Lord. He was very clear in the way that he felt about God Almighty. If you met King David here and you ask him, who did he love all the days of his life, he'd tell you very clear that he loved God. That God was number one in his life. He was not number two. He wasn't number three. His wife didn't come before God. His kids didn't come before God. His kingdom didn't come before God. But God was on the throne. He was very clear in the way that he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. In 1 John 4:10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and has sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. You say, preacher, why do I love God? Why do you love God this morning? Can I say to you, I love God this morning because Jesus Christ is my Redeemer. Can I get an amen? He is my Redeemer. He's the one that bought me back. He's the one that saved my soul. He's the one that paid my ransom. He's the one that set me free. Not only did he's my Redeemer, but he paid my sin debt. He took my place on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, I want you to know, as a daddy this morning, I'm excited to be here and to tell my children and to tell my daughter and my son how that God saved me and how that he delivered me. And I love the Lord this morning with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, and all my strength this morning. He is the one that set me free this morning. And if I can tell a daddy anything in here this morning, it's one thing to tell your kid that you love them, and it's something to tell your wife that you love them. But how many times, daddy, have your kids heard that you love God? Hey, that you're in love with God. I'm talking about that you're wrapped up in the Holy Ghost, hey, loving Jesus Christ because He saved your soul. He set you free. He shouted from the mountaintop. You let everybody know, no matter where you go, that, hey, God's been better than good to you. Can I get a witness this morning? Hey, I want you to know it's very clear in my life who I love. Hey, my children know it. My wife knows it. They don't have to second guess. They don't have to look around. I want you to know this morning, we need daddies to be very clear and let their children and let their wives know that they love the Lord. Hey, you know what? It's something to tell somebody you love them, but it's something totally different when you show them. Amen. He said, I will love the Lord. It is very clear in whom He loved. It is very clear. It is very personal. He said that the Lord is my strength. He is the one that takes care of me all the days of my life. He said, I will love the Lord. It is very clear. It's not cloudy. It's clear. You can see who the psalmist loves. And he said, my attitude is this. I will love the Lord. You know, a lot of people, and I do too, in their life, they go through things and they go through battles and they go through storms and they have hiccups along the way. And you say, hey, where is God at when all that goes on? Hey, can I say to you, He's right beside you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is right there beside you because He loves you this morning. I see that we need daddy to say, I will love the Lord. To love the Lord, you're going to have to go and get your kids sometimes. To love the Lord, you're going to have to go and get your spouse sometimes. Hey, to love the Lord, you're going to have to go and get your church sometimes. Because the book doesn't lie. It is very, very plain in what it says. And the psalmist said, I will love the Lord, my strength. It's one thing to love the Lord, but I want to show you the second thing. He was very clear when he said, I love the Lord. But I want to show you the second thing that we see in verse number 2. He said, I will trust the Lord. It's one thing to love Him, and it's something totally different to trust Him. You can to love Him and to trust Him. This morning, I want you to know not only was the psalmist clear when he said, I love the Lord, but he showed his confidence when he said, I will trust the Lord. You know, when you trust the Lord all the time, when it's going good, you trust Him. When it's going bad, you trust Him. No matter what's going on, you trust the Lord. Hey, Wednesday night when Brother Dale walked in and he wanted to be baptized, and he knew for 47 years in one day that he'd been disobedient to what God had called him to do, that he had been saved 47 years and one day ago when he walked in the church and he was under Holy Ghost conviction needing to be baptized, and he sat back there and he wanted to be baptized, and I asked him, when do you want to do it? And we decided we would do it that night. Hey, we wouldn't wait and call a fan club together. Hey, we wouldn't call none of them things together. Hey, we'd just do the will of God. Hey, because he knew he loved God and he finally come to the place in his life he wanted to trust God. Hey, you know what we did? We gathered up and we took off to the water and we went down to the Bunny Hatchie and we found a hole that was deep enough. Hey, can I say to you this morning that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the calling business. He is still a man you can love. He still is a father you can trust this morning. He is still calling people. Amen. Whoa, glory. You say, how do you know that confidence, preacher? How do you have that confidence? How can a daddy have a confidence in this world? How can you have confidence in God? And the psalmist said, you have confidence. You can trust Him because, number one, He is my rock. He is my rock. He's not my sand. He's my rock that I stand on. He is what holds me up. Look what he says. He's my rock. This is all personal. This is personal. Do you know Him this morning? Is He personal to you, Daddy? Do you have an I will attitude? Is it clear? Can your children and your wife see how confident it is in your life? He said, the Lord is my rock and He is my fortress. That fortress means He is my stronghold. He is my embankment. And He is my holding place when everything else is going wrong. He is the one that encamps around me. He is the embankment all around me. When floods come and things try to destroy, it's all around me. And I want you to know this morning that the Holy Ghost is all around this place this morning. And He has sent Him to be our comforter, to take care of us. And it's very clear this morning. And we can have confidence in knowing that He is my rock this morning. And He is my fortress this morning. And you can stand on Him this morning. When this world starts getting shaky, you can stand on God. Amen. They was told about a man that was an engineer in Galveston, Texas, back in the 60s. And there was a bad hurricane that come. And they built a big old wall. It was a big old retaining wall to hold the sea back, to hold the ocean back, that it would not come forth. And he built that big retaining wall. And he built it the way that it should be built. And he knew that that wall would hold. He had confidence in that wall, that no matter what came against it, no matter what waves, no matter what water, no matter what storm came, that it would hold back and it would do exactly what it was supposed to do. Well, he had left Texas and moved off, and he had got a word. There was a bad hurricane that came through, a bad storm, and water started raging, and it started beating against that a wall that was built. And when it came, I want you to know, when it came his way, oh glory to God, it came his way, and it said that the wall had been destroyed. The wall had been broke down. The fortress was over. There was nothing else holding. It had been washed away. He got that paper, Brother Les, and when he read the bad news, he crumbled it up and throwed it away. He said, there's no way it could have broke. There's no way it could have failed, because it was built upon the rock. It was built the right way. It wasn't built the wrong way. And you know what? It was false information when he got it. They didn't have their story straight. It wasn't the wall that he built. It was another wall. Can I say to you this morning, Jesus Christ is your wall. He's your rock. He's your fortress. He's what you hold on to this morning. And when the storms start beating and everything comes your way, Danny, you listen to me this morning. If you're built upon that rock, you will not fail. Satan will make you think you're a failure, but he's a liar. And he's the father of lies. And don't you believe it this morning. When everybody around you deserts you, you keep following Jesus. Can I get amen? There's still people who love Jesus. There's still people who love Jesus. There's still people who says, I want you to know it's very clear who I love. And I have confidence. I have trust in Jesus Christ. Let me show you this in the book. You say, preacher, everything's beating against me. As a daddy, it's going to, but the wall will stand. He says, he's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. He's my buckler. He's my horn. And he is my high tower. He is who I go to. In Joshua 24:15, you know what the Bible says? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Does your kids see you serving two different masters? Do they see you serving one master on Sunday and the other 6 days serving another one? Or do they see you serving the same God all week long, all 7 days? Does your spouse see you serving one God on Sunday and something totally different all week long? Who do they see you serve? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, I don't know about you, but that sets a fire way down in my bones. It sets it way down in my bones. But as for me and my house, that's who's under your roof. Before it's me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I wonder if we got any daddies in here that got an I will attitude. It says, I will love the Lord. I wonder if we got any daddies in here saying, I will trust the Lord. I wonder if we put a sign-up sheet that a daddy would sign it for you. Oh, don't hold me to nothing. I don't want to be held to nothing. I'm just a Christian. But you'll sign a note for 30 years. I wonder if we got any daddies in here saying, I'll sign a note that says, I'll love God the rest of my life. I'll trust God the rest of my life. But don't make me sign up for nothing, because, hey, I don't do that. I'm a man of my word. But you'll sign 5 years on a new car. See, I will do all these things, but don't hold me to what I need to do for God. Folks, can I say to you this morning, the most important thing in your life is what you're doing with God right now. It's what you're doing with God right now. Not 47 years and one day ago, Brother Randy Dill. You had no peace for 47 years and one day. But when you went down and came up, there's peace in your life. And I thought about how for 47 years and one day, it wasn't Randy Dill loving God, but it was God loving Randy Dill. Amen. It wasn't nothing to do with you loving him. Amen. It was a gracious God from heaven reaching down over there on County Road 49, stirring your spirit, stirring your soul, and leading you where you needed to be. Don't you think you're doing anything in this walk for Christ that he's not allowing you to do? He allows you to love him. He gives you enough faith to believe in him. He gives you enough love to love him. And he gives you enough faith to trust in him. You say, oh, no, it's because I'm just a good old Christian. No, don't kid yourself. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I love it when people walk in on a Wednesday night and want to be baptized, and they ain't looking to call nobody. They're just looking to go. Amen. A spirit just get right. He said, listen, he said, I love the Lord. It's clear. Daddies, I'm asking you a question this morning. Is it clear in your life? that you love the Lord. The whole community can see it's clear, and if you live in a different way at home, it's useless. It's useless. If there's one person in my life, hey, I'm telling you, I want to make sure knows I love the Lord. That's my wife and my kids. If they believe I love the Lord, come on. They live with me. They know when I've had a flat. They know when I've had a bad day. They know when it ain't going right. And what am I going to do then? But then I also want them to know not only I love the Lord, but I want them to know I trust the Lord. I have confidence in Him. There's been times I didn't know how it was going to work, folks, and I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't have a clue how it was going to work. I looked to Kaylee, I looked to Brandon, I said, I don't know how it's going to work, but we're just going to trust God. He ain't let me down yet. He ain't going to let me. He can't lie. Brother Les said this morning, if that thief on the cross ain't in heaven, we all doomed for hell. Because if he told one lie, he told all of us a lie. But he can't lie. Titus 1:2, God who cannot lie. I ask you this morning, is it clear who you love? Daddies? Do you have confidence to trust in Him? Confidence to trust in Him. But I'm going to give you the last thing. It can be clear, and you can have all the confidence you want. But do you got enough courage to call on His name? There's one thing to love Him. There's one thing to trust Him. I just trust Him. But when you're in that valley of despair and you're at your lowest. Who in here has ever been low? You ever been low? You ever been up there, was it in Chattanooga where you go down and see that waterfall? That's low, ain't it? Man, that's low. They took me down that elevator about I don't know how many feet we were down there. My ears was popping when I come back up. Brandy said, just follow me. Son, I had a hold of her belt loop all the way through that place. It was dark, and they said, don't get lost. How am I? Hey, you got the light. You're ahead of me. That woman walking up through there wide open, just taking this. She done been through there 300-400 times. She want me to follow her, and I'm at the back. And she's hollering, anybody else left? I said, there ain't nobody behind me but darkness. This morning, if you've been born again, there ought not be nothing behind you but darkness. You should not look behind you, but look to the light that's before you. Keep following that trail. Keep pounding that trail. Keep doing. Daddies, do what God's called you to do. Just keep following it. But something different to call on Him. I've told this story 100 times, but it fits for this setting. Me and a man from this church was at my house, and it was hot. Man, it was one of the more hot days, y'all know, like it is right now. And it was so hot. And we had a burden we needed to pray about. We got down, we got to praying about that burden. I didn't know Kaylee was going to get out of school early and come home that day, but she did. I don't know how long we'd been on our knees. Long enough they done got about calloused over. Can I get a witness? Long enough sweat done started pulling up on the floor. Can I get a witness? You been there that long? No, been there a good while. And we said amen and we stood up and turned around. There stood Kaylee. She just stood there the whole time. I said, baby, I didn't know you was coming home. She said, Dad, that's no problem. I said, how long you been there? She said, I've been there a long time. I said, well, you should have said something. She said, oh, no. Y'all was talking to the Lord and I just stepped back and prayed with y'all. You see, your daddies, your kids need to see you praying. When you're sitting at the eating table, don't you push that off on your wife. Don't you push that off on your wife. Don't you slide that off to your kid. That's your responsibility to man up and pray. To man up and call on the name of the Lord. To man up and say, God, I want you to protect my home. God, I want you to provide for my home. But God, I want you to be the priest and live through me in this home. He said, I will call upon the Lord. Let me show you this, how you call on the Lord. Let me show you this. He said, I will call upon the Lord. He was courageous in verse number 3. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Why did he call on Him? Because God is worthy to be praised. He said, I will call on Him because He is worthy. In verse number 4, he said, I will call on Him when I am weak. In verse 4 and 5, the sorrows of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about and the snares of death prevented me. He said, I'll call on Him because He's worthy. I'll call on Him when I'm weak, and I'll call on Him when I'm in distress. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. You know what a lot of folks said? Said, I've done all I can do. I guess I'll pray now. If you'd have prayed first, you wouldn't have done all you needed to do. Just pray. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even unto His ears. He said, preacher, is it any good that daddies pray and that daddies get to where God is? I promise you it is. Thank God for praying mamas. Amen. Thank God for praying mamas. It's holding a lot of families together. But I thank God for daddies. Thank God for daddies. They ain't got to have the biggest and the best. They just believe in God, and they ain't worried about what the next man's doing. They ain't trying to keep up with the Joneses. They ain't trying to do none of that. They just want to lead their family to the Lord. And they want their family to know that God's all in all. And that they love God, they trust God, and they call upon God. Do you remember in John chapter number 4 and verse number 48 and 49? Do you remember the nobleman? He came to Jesus. He came right to where Jesus was, and he asked Jesus this question. He said, "Will you come and heal my daughter?" And he said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And here's what he said. He said unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child dies." He said, "Come down or my child's going to die." Instead, he left Jesus. Jesus said, "Go, she'll be made whole. Go, she'll be healed. Go." And the man left, and when he went back, he got right there, and he asked his servants. He said, "She's healed." He said, "At what time?" And he knew it was at the exact time that he had called upon the Lord. There's going to be times in your life, Daddy, that you're going to have to call on the Lord. But I promise you this, you can see his finger all over your life. You see God's hand all over your life. You may not see it right now, but you can see it. Kaylee, I had her text a few ladies in the church for me. I didn't have their numbers or whatever. Some responded, some didn't. But I was curious as a pastor how some of these ladies and girls think about their daddy. Think about their daddy. Say, "I'm tough." But what's your kid think about you? How's your kid see you? How's your daughter look at you? For mamas, we did boys. But for Father's Day, we did daughters. And I want to read you a few ladies in the church, young girls, ladies, and how they felt about their daddy. Man, I'm telling you what, I've not read them all. I stopped about two of them. And I said, I thank God that I get to sit among some men like this. I thank God that I get to sit among some men that think this way. Let me share with you a few here. It says, "My daddy has always shown me so much love. He works hard every day to provide anything I want and need. He teaches me right from wrong and helps me when I need him. I'm thankful to have my daddy and I love him so much." That's what Briley Nolan said about Brother Brian Nolan. "Over the past 18 years, someone that has continually been there for me and supported me would have to be my dad. He's been there for me during the high points and the lows. I know I will forever have a shoulder to lean on, and I will forever be so thankful. I'm also thankful for the way he leads by a Christian example. However, one thing that I'm extremely thankful for is that I have a dad that has raised me in church. I'm so lucky to have such a great dad. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me. I love you so much. Happy Father's Day." That's what McKinley said about Brother Jackie. "My dad has always been amazing. The way he shows me love is how much he aggravates me. But also how hard he works for my family. He always keeps a cool head around us and makes us sure that we know that he loves us every day." That's what Juliana said about Brother Kelvin. "I'm so blessed to have a dad fit perfectly for me. He pushes me harder than anyone else and has guided me in every step throughout my 15 years. I'm so thankful for him coaching me and being my support system. He's shown me to be confident but humble, kind but assertive, taught me to always be diligent but respectful, and to persevere through any situation. Though I can't be more thankful for all these things, his love for Jesus will always be the biggest blessing he demonstrated in my life. I'm so appreciative to have the Father that has poured into my spiritual life and has always put me in the house of the Lord." This is what Sister Kayla said about Brother Gary. "Having my dad as someone to look up to and have as a role model in my life is one of the biggest blessings I could ask for. From bringing me and my sisters to church to being at every sporting event, he does it all. I'm so grateful that he gives his all and sacrifices so much for me and my sisters on a daily basis. I'm so thankful that God gave me and my sisters him as our dad." That's what Sister Riley said about you, Brother Dakota. About you. "My daddy spends time with me. He likes playing softball, taking me hunting, fishing, and bowling. He planted fruit trees for me because he knows I like fruit. Thank God for daddies. Amen. There are a lot of things he does, and I can't think of them all. Brother Jared, that's what Jay said about you. My daddy is the nicest man there is. He loves me and gives me the best shoulder rides. I love him. Brother McCullough, that's what Aniston said about you. My dad has always been my shoulder to cry on and always stands by my side no matter what. He's always taught me to believe in myself and my dreams. He always supports me in everything I do, no matter how big or small. He is the best dad I could ever ask for. He has shown me to always trust God and to look to Him in every situation. When I don't understand what's going on, He always reminds me that it's all a part of God's plan and that I'm never alone. I am truly blessed to have Him as my dad. Brother Chad, that's what Sister Calista said about you. I'm going to read this one right here, and everybody's going to know it as soon as I start off. Although my dad has never really been the gentle, compassionate type. Sister Dolores, you want to give me a key right there? Kids are honest. But let me finish the story. Though my dad's not always been the gentle, compassionate type, he was the one I always ran to. Daddy's hands. Amen. He was the one I always ran to when I was hurt or had something going on because I knew he'd speak the truth. Thank you, Brother David. Whew. He taught me to rub some dirt on it and keep on going. I was the only girl, but he still taught me independence just like the boys. I can operate about any power too, mow and weed, eat my own grass, change my own tire. Had to do tire rotation when I was in high school at home. He taught me to respect others and to take nothing less than respect. Most importantly, he took me to church, taught me about God. He taught me to trust and lean on God. And let Him guide my path. His favorite Bible verse, I'm sure you all know. So although His compassion and love were shown a little differently, now as an adult with my own family, I'm thankful for all the things He has taught me, and I'm blessed to call Him my daddy. That's what Brittany said about Brother David. Whew. To my wonderful dad that always has my back. He taught me about the Lord, and He helped me learn different things so now I can fix and do things I've never tried before. He has helped me when I've been sad. After my mom passed away a year and 7 months ago, I've always loved Him with all my heart. Brother Boyd, that's what Sister Amanda said about you. Kaylee, come on up here. I haven't read this one. This is what Kaylee said about me.
Truly make me proud to be your daughter, Daddy. You have shown so much love to me in so many ways over the years. You have always been so supportive in my life and shown me love, even when it was tough. You were the one that led me to Christ, and I will always be thankful for that. You have helped me understand what I was and am capable of. You have reminded me when times were tough that I am a daughter of the King.
Yes.
And that anything in my life will come if it's God's will. You've shown me kindness, humbleness, and many other fruits. You've always provided, whether it be spiritually, mentally, or physical needs. You always came through, and I'm truly blessed to have a father like you, Daddy. You're the best father a girl could ask for, and I love you.
That's my number one. You see, you got two kids, yeah, but she's number one. He's number two. She can't be number two, and he can't be number one. That's just the way they come. This morning, I want to ask our daddies a question. Is it clear who you love? Is it clear? You ask yourself that question. If it ain't, don't you walk out them doors. If it ain't clear, if your whole family can't see who you love. Who you love is who you're going to put first. Are you clear in who you love? Do you have confidence in who you love this morning, that being Christ Jesus? And do you got enough courage to call on His name? This morning we're going to have a time of invitation, and here's what I want to ask you to do. Don't do nothing for me. It would be useless. But if the Spirit, Daddy, has probed your heart, or anybody in this room, and it's not clear who you love, if it's not clear that you love the Lord, if it's not crystal clear, why not get in this altar and get it cleared up this morning? If this morning you say, I've been lacking confidence, preacher, and trusting God, I'm having a hard time trusting God because I don't see it like I should. Why not get in this altar and say, Lord, I want to start trusting you? Or maybe it's you've never, ever been saved and you say, I just need to call on the name of the Lord. Maybe you are saved and it's been a long time since you talked to him. Why not get in this altar this morning? I wonder how many daddies in here has got an I will attitude. I had a daddy that had an I will attitude. I will whoop your tail. Amen. I will whoop your tail. You do that again. Talk to your mama that way again. I will. Brittany Barnes, I had a daddy like yours. Not as spiritual as yours. But I had a daddy like yours. He taught you right and wrong. I had a man one time, and I'm going to share this with you. We're going to go. Had a man in town. I shot and killed his dog. Graveyard dead. My daddy come to me and said, you kill his dog? I said, no, I didn't. I didn't know I had to. I thought I had rat shot. I had a hollow point in that .22. He said, no, I didn't. I didn't. He said, boy, don't you lie to me. I said, yeah, I did it. We went down the road to the neighbor's house, and we got down to the house, and we pulled up. And he said, he's got something he needs to tell you, and he needs to apologize. And I said, I'm sorry I killed your dog. And he said, well, I'm going to whoop your tail. And around that truck, he started coming. And before I could get to the door, my daddy met that man. That man didn't get a hold of me. My daddy got a hold of him. And when we got back in that old white 79 Chevy going back down the road, he told me, he said, you just cost me a friendship. I said, Daddy, why would you do that for me? He said, because I love you. I love you. It was clear that he loved me. I was confident in that he loved me. And I was courageous that I could call on him. This morning, if it ain't clear, we're not getting this altar and make it clear this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. I praise your holy name. I thank you for the written word. I thank you for the tears that are flowing down people's faces this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost that is in this room. Father, I thank you for the one that right now, the daddy that's under conviction, that they know that it's not clear. That if you ask their kids who they love, they put other things ahead of it. Lord, this morning it don't have to be that way. Lord, this morning, let it be clear who we love. We love you. And we'll call on you. And we'll trust you with what you send our way. Bless this time of invitation. Let them not go out the way they come in. Let them go out knowing that they have an I will attitude and they will serve the Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you.